Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Boys are back.
You know the rest
town.
Of the lyrics?
No, I don't.
That's the only lyrics everyone knows.
We're back. That's all that I know. We're back. And
finally.
You know, for me, it's been about a month and a half. For you, it's, you know, about a month. You've been up north guiding, and you've been slinging fish. I've been slinging houses. We've both been helping clients, you know, create memories, achieve their goals, and we're finally back.
Yeah, feels good to be back sitting in my studio, in quotations, the corner of a bedroom in my basement with a banner on the wall. But no, it's good. It's good to be back. I know we released one episode while I was gone there on the 17th. I think that was part two with TJ. And that one was all, if you haven't listened to it, it's all walleye and live scope specific. So, or live imaging, but kind of we dial into the live scope as well. So, no, it's good to be back and talking with you again here. We haven't done this for a while, so I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I mean, I'm sure we're going to dive into it. You're going to have tons of stories. This is your second summer heading up to Lac La Marthe with the boys up there and the amazing fishing that it presents. And, you know, I'm excited to hear all about it. I know you caught some big, big fish up there. But before we get into that, obviously, we got to make mention to our sponsors. You know, this is year three. We've been running this pod for a while now. It's crazy to actually put into perception. It's been 3 years, but
doesn't feel that long.
You know, the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, they've been with us since, year one.
Pretty well day one. Yeah, year one.
So, I mean, they've been fantastic to work with. And they offer so much to us as anglers and outdoors people. So definitely, if you don't have a membership, go grab one. It's cheap. You get tons of benefits. They've been sticking around with the boys for a while. Obviously, our presenting sponsor, 13 Fishing. Go to rapella.ca, 13fishing.ca. You can get 15% off all of their brands. So many great options. Logan, I know you got a couple stories about a couple of Rapella hooks. That were some secret slayers up there in the north. So, you know, huge shout out to 13 Fishing Canada for hopping on literally day one before we even had a single episode out. It's been fantastic to have them as partners. And what else we got?
We got Lucky Bastard Distillers there. So I think we'll just hop into that quick little excerpt from them. And then I think we may as well get into the rest of the episode.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth. Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard? It's the one with the pickle in it.
Be sure to check out the show notes below. You can save 10%. Off of Lucky Bastard products. They do ship Canada wide. So for sure, check those show notes below and get your summer liquids ready. Cause,
those
should be getting
those,
warm.
I think they're like the Saskatoon berry can drinks that Lucky Bastard has. I've been seeing them everywhere. Literally people come over for a barbecue. Usually one of our friends is coming in with a case of those Lucky Bastard Saskatoon berry. I think they're like sugar free too, but like they're tasty. You know, so not just vodkas, not just, you know, the liquors and liqueurs, but check out their canned drinks too. Those have been a hot pick this summer.
Mm-hmm. I also consumed quite a bit of their vodka at your wedding, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we had exclusively Lucky Bastard vodka at my wedding, which was a big,
dangerous.
Yeah, which was a big hit. It was a big hit.
Yeah, but no, let's hop into things. Hop into things here. We've got a lot of stuff. I mean, some of these like Saskatchewan Wildlife Master Angler program is going to be coming up a bit later. And then, like Brandon said, some 13 stuff as well. So kind of nice that we tie all that in. But I don't know, where do you want to start?
I know you have some housekeeping you want to do.
Oh, right. Yeah. I should be looking at the show notes.
I know you have some. you need to clean up some things before we dive into other topics.
Yeah. This is specifically for Fecal Guide himself, Zach Brown. I don't even know how 2 months behind on this, 2.5 months. So some housekeeping. Number one, he was our first guest from Alberta. I'm sorry, Adam. I got your hopes up maybe with that one. I said you were our first guest from Alberta. The confusion there, as one might think, is quite easy to do. Each time we've recorded with Zach, which has been twice, he's been up at the lodge in the territories.
The guy looks like he's from the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where that confusion happened. So I'm sorry about that, Zach. Also, big one. This could go for anyone because some people might be using this as their standard of measurement and it's been wrong. I was saying in the episode with Adam as well that a 40-inch pike is usually around 20 pounds. That is incorrect. That's maybe more around the 18, something like that. We're going to go 42 inches, 20 pounds.
You've been misleading people this entire season.
Yeah, I like to really hold my fish out in my photos, you know, as far as I can, and then bring the camera as close as I can. And then that's also what plays into a 40-inch pike being 20 pounds.
I was going to say, no, that was more of like a 33-inch pike that looked like a 20-pounder.
Yeah, and I just shove that down there. We got weights and fish.
Weights and fish.
Yeah, so no, we got weights and fish. We wanted to get that out of the way. I've been meaning to do that, and then I keep forgetting on each episode. So, Zach, I know you were really on me about that. You know, just wouldn't let it go all month. I heard about it every day. But no, just kidding. You mentioned it once, and I thought I wanted to fix that. So, yeah, I guess we may as well hop into the trip.
You were up there.
What do you want to know?
You were up there with Fecal Guide. Well, okay, so, I mean, majority of the people that are listening to this episode probably have listened to majority of the episodes. They probably listened to the one with Zach. They probably listened to the one when you came back last year from your first time ever guiding up there. Now mm-hmm. you're a seasoned vet. This is year two. You got year two in the books. You know what to expect going up there, flights, lifestyle, you know, guiding mm-hmm. clients, how to handle certain situations. But like, what was your biggest takeaway from year two? Let's start off with that before we dive into specific stories, because obviously year one, you know, it's just getting up there. It's just, you know, getting your feet wet and learning some systems and processes and how to like handle clients, because mm-hmm. obviously clients have expectations and you can't always meet those, but
or never meet them.
But I guess what was your biggest takeaway from year two, kind of knowing what to expect a little bit?
I would say, like, you're definitely right. Year one, you're pretty wide-eyed, yeah. right? Like, it's fishing is fishing, but there's a lot to learn with each lake. It's not even just spots, but just how fish act differently, right? And how they feed differently, whatever works. Every lake's different. And so the first year is pretty wide-eyed the whole time, just like everything's new. Each day is new, yeah. right? For the most part. So it's kind of, you don't have a chance to really soak it in as much. And last year flew by, but this year flew by even quicker, even though my biggest takeaway is how much I was able to soak in, like each day, like first year, once the clients were showing up, I've never done anything in a client industry yeah, yeah. before, right? Everything I've done I mowed lawns when I was younger at a lawn mowing business. So
there's a little bit of clients,
but not really. So yeah. So I haven't really done anything with the client side of things as much. So as when they first showed up, like trying to eat breakfast every morning, I was just so nervous about the day and stuff. And this year was like, I crushed breakfast. I was ready to go. Like I wasn't nervous at all this year, which yeah. was nice. To just go and actually enjoy it. And then you probably perform better too at that point, right? Because you're not nervous about it. So that my biggest takeaway was just being able to purely enjoy it, right? Because it's still a job, and I think lots of people could maybe forget that, think of it as an experience or whatever, but it's still a job. These people are paying a lot of money to come up, and you want to put them on fish. And I think sometimes some of them don't realize that you want them to catch that huge fish just as much as they want yeah. to catch it, right? Like none of us are going to be upset if someone catches a 50-inch pike
No.
Right? Like, we're going to be jacked about that, right? Like, it's, we want to have those people catching those fish just as much. So it's kind of different in that aspect. But yeah, biggest takeaway for sure, just being able to soak it all in this year and really enjoy it, which made it go by way too quick.
No, that's, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I kind of expected it'd be along those lines. I mean, first year you're nervous with anything you do. I guess one question I had, I mean, it was mentioned before you were heading up here, you snagged a couple of the new 13 Fishing Omen musky rods.
Yeah.
First impressions?
They're sick. First impressions was they sat in my studio here. They sat here for, I think they show up like a month and a half before I went. And so they're a telescopic rod, and I, not knowing much about that scene as far as musky rods, maybe it's similar in that, but anytime I think of telescopic, it's each guide is breaking down into one small thing, right? But with these ones, I can't remember what length I got, 8 foot or 8'6", something like that. I should know. I'm not much of a gearhead as much as far as paying attention to what it actually was. But basically, I got the ones, they break down. So it's from the handle to that first guide is actually where the telescopic part happens. And so that goes down into the handle. So I got those ones because they break down into a 7 foot rod, which fit the rod tube. That was the longest that my rod tube could go.
Perfect.
So I got those ones that broke down into that. But yeah, got up there, got to fish a little bit. There's a lot of updating and stuff going on at the lodge to start the year with new owners and stuff. So we were doing a lot of work and got to fish a little bit at the start and was running those rods. And yeah, it was sick. They throwing big baits, like a lot of the big Savage gear, big Rapalas, tried out some headbanger lures as well, throwing their colossal size baits, and it worked awesome. And with lots of weight on there too, like it handled it all really well. Fish fighting on there felt great as well. Like they'd load up a good amount. So some of those rods, when you get into that bigger size, right, they're so big and stiff that it's like, it's so bouncy. Yeah. And stuff like that, and you can't really load up that rod, and that always scares me. So these ones were nice. I was happy, very happy with them. So I might even pick up a couple more just because.
New Omen musky rod. Okay. I think, you know, I mean, you obviously use those for pike.
Pike and Lakers.
And Lakers 13 fishing.
And mostly for trolling, actually. Like, I only caught a couple pike on them. We have good-sized pike down here, right? So I'm always more interested in the lake trout. So I use them mostly for that. But yeah, they're the backbone they have, and you can throw those big baits. It was awesome. So
okay, yeah.
I don't know if you've got the specifics.
Yeah,
there.
So I'm just whipping up a couple specs here. So like the ones you got would have been 8'6" because they're 7 feet stowed. So 8'6", extra heavy. There is a heavy option. It's fast action. And these puppies are $259. So at $259, and you take 15% off, you're saving $40. So you're basically getting the rod for $210. So
then you can buy some lures.
So these look pretty sick. There's a little video here that 13 Fishing has on their website too. Go check that out, rapella.ca. These rods are $259. And they come in three different lengths. You can get all the way up to a 9'6".
Yeah, there's longer ones too. And one of the things I like the most too, and I was talking to Adam about it, and he was the same. It's the handle is awesome.
It's long, man.
Nice and long. So it's awesome for trolling when you're hanging onto those big baits, right? You can just
tuck it under your arm.
Especially if you're driving. Yeah, tuck it under the arm and just hang on, right? Because some of the baits we're throwing are, it's the action on them is pretty crazy. So you're kind of hanging on for dear life, and they definitely cushion that quite nicely. So yeah, no, I was very happy with those. Some of the clients used them a bit too, when we were out there. Typically they bring their own stuff, but, some of them use that a little bit. Like, I guess we may as well hop into week one. Cause sure. I had a solo, guest on week one. And, when we were trolling for Lakers, usually you don't fish when you're guiding, obviously.
Yeah.
But when we'd be lake trout fishing, I would put a line out as well and then just hand off the rod. Just to have two lines out there, more chance for a fish, right?
Yeah.
So I was using that all week. I just ran it for a week straight, and that was awesome to use those. So that's kind of where a lot of the testing of those came through. And yeah, like I said, that handle's nice. The fact that they break down is nice too. Obviously it could be hard with those big rods trying to travel with them. And that's a big thing getting up there. Like last year, my rods didn't show up for till a day later. Luckily this year everything showed up. I was worried about that, especially some of my flights were pretty close. Yeah, that all showed up. I had to, my flight changed when I was going there. Like me and my girlfriend, we were going to get up at like, I think it was like 3 o'clock to get to Regina in time for our flight.
Yeah.
Or for my flight. And we got a email at like 9:30 that night. So it was getting kind of close to going to bed already because you're getting up at 3 and it's like, oh, your flight's been changed. So they changed my Regina to Calgary flight and I wasn't going to get into Calgary till 9:50. And the connecting flight they had me on was leaving at 9:30. I'm like, well, that's not going to work. So I had to reschedule all that. And so that kind of sucked. But some of the connections were closer, like time-wise. So I was like, hopefully they get on there in time. And it was on the same on the way back. I think I landed in Calgary on the way back at like, what was it, like midnight or 11:30 or something. And then I had 10 minutes till my next flight was supposed to be boarding to get there. And I'm like, hopefully all my gear and luggage and stuff makes it to that plane. But luckily it got delayed by like half an hour. So everything showed up on the way back. So it was good for that. But WestJet, they charged me for my extra, like I have two bags and the rod tube. So every time I've gone up there, the two bags, or I guess the one bag is fine. That's free, whatever, with the ticket. And then the other bag gets considered as a tackle bag. And I think sporting equipment is free to take on the plane. So that other 50-pound suitcase gets regarded as tackle with the rods. So I never have to pay for anything. And then there was a new girl working on the way back in Yellowknife, and she charged me for the luggage, which kind of sucked. But I was like, whatever, it's like $40 at least. As long as it makes it home, I won't be upset. So that worked out. But the biggest thing from week one, I would say, was, I think it was WestJet again. And I guess, obviously, they're not a sponsor, so whatever. say whatever, right? There was a group that came up. I think it was for the guy's 70th birthday or something. They're coming up, and he's been to the lodge a lot. Really fun guy. I wasn't guiding anything to do with their group, but I think they brought up 14 guys or something. Holy like shit. A big group of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it was in Seattle or in Calgary, but WestJet lost 26 bags of theirs on the way
Holy
up.
Holy shit.
And yeah, and they didn't, and it was like, he brought a ton of baits and everything, because basically he had this idea where like basically the biggest fish that was caught on the day, say it was a Savage Gear or it was a Rapala, we'll say it's a Rapala, then the guide gets to choose a Rapala lure from his tackle. And he had like, I don't even know how many literal full, like he had one tackle bag that was all just tails for silver minnows, like just grubs for silver minnows. So he had a bunch of tackle. And so that was kind of the idea. But then the luggage didn't show up until like day 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And it's a 6-day trip. So that's pretty unfortunate. So they still got to use some of it. And then the part that was pretty cool on the last day, he kind of stood up, said thanks to the guides and stuff. And then he's like, you guys can go choose whatever 3-4 items kind of thing that you want to take from the tackle, because basically there's too much of it. So I got some Bondies, also I get some Savage Gear stuff, things like that. And so I was already close to overweight for going home,
but then you had all these big baits. Much
stuff. Oh, I had all these big baits. Adam got us hooked up from Len Thompson with they haven't released it yet, but this new line of extra heavy spoons. And so I think the large ones are all 2 ounces or something like that. So got all these as well that I'm like, well, this is another couple pounds that I have to try and figure out. So for anyone traveling with rod tubes, the boys at the lodge kind of turned me on to this, but usually I just have the rods in there. Well, I put all those Len Thompsons, a bunch of headbangers that showed up as well, and then all my lead weights in the rod tube as well, secured tightly so they weren't bouncing around. But I don't know how much my rod tube weighed on the way home, but that was the only way I was getting home with everything. So there's a little pro tip for you, I guess. Fill up that rod tube, because they didn't care at the airport, right? It's just a rod tube, and
yeah.
So didn't have to pay extra for that as well. So that was nice.
No, but that's...
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Any questions there?
No, I think that's pretty sick, though. I mean, it sounds like there's some really, really good people that go up to that lodge and appreciate what you guys do as far as guides and the full experience. And I mean, that's pretty sick. He got to go pick a bunch of stuff. But
yeah,
week two, I know that you had some topwater situations. Yeah. You want to dive into that? Like some type of Rapala topwater?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess also, week one was cool. We ended on the last day. We got a 43.5-inch Hybrid Silver.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool to end the trip on. But yeah, week two, two guys in the boat, and one of them, he's been up there, I think he said like 6 or 7 times, and the other guy, this is like one of his first times doing any trip like this. Like, he's fished around home a bit.
Yeah.
But it was sweet. Like, first day, like, he's like would be catching like 30 inches, and he's just like loving watching it, right? And that's nice for us to see, because lots of guys come up there and it's like, it takes like a 45 plus to get them to be like, oh, nice kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty sweet in that sense that it's cool seeing people get that excited about it. And so yeah, we started with that. He hadn't been on a lot of these trips. Day two, the guy that hadn't been on a lot of the trips, he started off with a 42.5-inch lake trout in the morning. And then we also had, I think, a 2 39s, 2 38s, and a 37 or something that morning. So some big fish there. And then we go into the afternoon and he catches a 42-inch hybrid again, 42-inch hybrid, silver, pike, whatever. And so he's already got his 40-40 club on day two. And it's like, of course, right? It's always the people who are newer to it, stuff like that, that get, I don't know if it's like the beginner's luck kind of thing, right? So that was pretty cool as well. But yeah, then after he had caught a handful of 40s and stuff like that, he ended up on one of his other trips, he was using a super shad wrap, the balsa there.
Yep.
And a pike had ripped off the bill from it. So it's supposed to be a bit of a diving lure a bit, right? So that's kind of the action that it's made for.
With the lip. Well,
he starts with the lip, yeah. But now without the lip, it just floats. It just sits there and floats. And he threw that for like the last 2.5-3 days. And started out with just a single treble, but it started catching too many fish. And I was like, okay, they're annihilating this thing. So we put just a single on it. Same thing, still catching a bunch of fish, but way easier on the fish, right? So put that single on there and he would just whip that around all day. Like, and he'd just be sitting there. Like he'd kind of rip it in a bit. It'd do a bit of like, it would still dive a bit just because of the nose on it. But, and then he'd just stop, it'd float and sit there. 10, 15 seconds, all of a sudden a pike just hit it. I'm like, this just makes no sense. And like, topwater bite can be pretty hit and miss lots of the time, right? And he threw this all the time and was just
crushing,
catching fish after fish. And he had one fish that he was using a setup that he borrowed from someone back home. And this fish bit, and it was like what you see in like tuna shows. Like, it hit and just zzz, and just nonstop for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I hear a crack or like a snap noise. And I was like, oh, his line snapped. Well, no, his reel snapped off on his rod or on his reel. And then like half a second later, another snap, and he had braid to like a mono backing.
Yeah.
And that knot snapped as well. And I was like, oh, like, one, we just lost what was a huge fish. And two, now this huge fish has this lure in its mouth, which sucks, right? So we're like, oh, that's kind of crappy or whatever, but what can you do? So the other guy in the boat, he's casting a subwok, which another Rapala lure there, that thing was so beat up and caught so many fish, but still action still worked, everything like that. That week two is like the week of the subwok. There's quite a few boats running it and it was crushing fish as well, but he casts out and he reels in a little fish that's tangled in some line. So that bigger fish had let go of that lure. So this smaller one's tangled in some line. I pull in probably like another, like, I don't know, 50 feet of line. And there's the Rapala lure just sitting there. So we got that back. So luckily it wasn't stuck in the fish's mouth anymore. So that was pretty cool as well. And that actually kind of happened twice that week because I don't even know what, it was some kind of plug.
Yeah.
When the one guy started throwing that Rapala lure on like day three or something and was catching, the other guy's like, oh, I'll throw one, something similar on and try it out. And it was like, I don't know how long it was. It's probably like 10 inches,
yeah,
something like that. Just some topwater plug thing. And caught a little fish on it, probably like a I don't know, like a 24 inch or something like that, and came inside the boat. I went to unhook it. The fish twirled, cut the line, and took off behind the boat. So I went to net it to try and get the hook out, and it jumped out of the net as I was lifting it up. And then I just see this fish just dart away, and I can see this fire tiger plug just wiggling through the water. And I'm like, the fish is so small. Like, the if it's not going full speed, the lure is going to just lift it up to the surface.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, probably not even 25 inches, probably less than that, but whatever. So that's kind of funny watching that. Just, oh, I see it. You can't see the fish. You just see a fire tiger plug just ripping out of the bay. I was like, okay. So that's gone. So then I think it was the next day or something. Like, we have a Snapchat group there with all the guides, and you can send videos. And then when you get that's back, they'll send over Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And so he sends it. He's like, who lost this? And it's the same thing. The fish had moved over a bay, and like, to get into that bay is probably like a 3-4 minute boat ride from where we lost it, and this fish had gone all the way there with this plug in its mouth. And so he unhooked it, and now that's hanging on one of the caribou sheds in the lodge as well.
That's pretty cool.
That was a pretty funny week. Yeah. And we ended that week with a 45 and a half on the last cast, so that was pretty cool as well. Good way to end it. So yeah, week two was pretty fun as well. And then
best, I guess, week three.
Yeah, honestly, it was my best week before that was probably week one, my first year. But week three this year was a blast. We had four guys up from Michigan.
Yeah.
I believe. I should get that right. It is Michigan, but I always question myself because I know they're going to be listening. So we had Mike, Tim, Rick, and Chris there, and it was just awesome. Two of them have been there before, and what was it? I don't know how. It was before COVID. Yeah, before COVID. So they came before COVID, two of them, and two of them had never been there. And these guys, some of them hadn't fished a ton or whatever. They're fishing for different stuff back home. So
yeah,
this was a whole brand new experience to them. And I could tell from day one that it was going to be awesome. We're out there. Before we even fishing, they're just like, couldn't believe the scenery, stuff like that. And I mean, that's what you like to see, right? Lots of guys kind of are blind to lots of that, but these guys were just jacked up about literally everything. So one sec. I had to clear my throat there. Literally jacked up about everything. So I was like, this is going to be a good week. We shore lunched every single day, which is always fun. Two of them swam three out of the six shore lunches, which most guys aren't going swimming, right? And so that was always fun to watch and funny to tell the other guys about. And then I don't know, we got to explore the whole lake. Three of them got their 40-40 club, which was pretty sweet as well. The lake trout really started to fire near the end of week three there before I had to leave, so that was pretty cool. But probably the highlight of the whole season for that was I think it was day three, something like that. So me and Colby, one of the other guides, since we're a group of four and they wanted to fish around each other, and it's pretty fun to do. We kind of got to move around everywhere we fish together, right? Lots of the time, if that's not the case, everyone's going to different areas of the lake and you don't really see anyone unless you're lake trout fishing or something.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool getting to spend the time together and fish around and stuff. And so after we did shore lunch, actually I think Zach met us for shore lunch that day too. On one of the points we did shore lunch. We go to our pike spots in the afternoon and the first bay is just loaded. The mouth of it's loaded. And then you head back and it's just so many fish in there. I don't know how many fish we caught. They're all jacked about that. They're like, this is the like most fish we've seen. And I'm like, this kind of number stuff doesn't happen all the time. So I was like, this is pretty sweet. And kind of like, that's already the highlight of the day. Right. Yeah. So we're fishing there. Tim catches a really nice, probably like a 42 inch pike, but this thing's like pristine. Like I'm looking at the net, like, perfectly white in the areas it's supposed to be and stuff, like not beat up whatsoever. And I'm like, okay, sweet. So I unhook it. We've got the big nets with the long netting there so you can let them kind of rest, sit in the water.
Yeah.
Whatever, take my pliers off because we tie them with like some form of a lanyard in case you drop them, right? So take those off my wrist, everything. Get the phone ready, whatever. I'm going down. I look over, go to grab it, and I watch the last like foot of the fish swim out of the net. And I was like, no. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because I don't know.
Huh? Is there a hole in the net?
Yeah, when netted it and it thrashed around a bit, eventually at some point, because I had just checked, I had fixed two holes up higher, that wouldn't be an issue before.
Yeah.
Like a couple days before or something. And so I was like, whatever. So I'm looking down, I see that, and I was like, no. Like, because I think Tim had at that point just had a 40 or something. So this was going to be his biggest of the trip. And so I'm like, no. And so I grab the net, boat drifts over a bit, the pike's just sitting under there. I net it. It's big net, right? I'm lifting it up, like all my might lifting this net up, and the fish just swims out just before I would get it to the top of the water.
Yeah.
And so I move up a bit, try and do it again just to get that picture or whatever and make sure it's good. You want to get the good release on it too. And it got away again. So I was like, he's like, don't worry about it kind of thing. Like, I know we'll get more. And I was like, you don't want that to happen as a guide, right?
Yeah.
So that sucked or whatever. But then we went in deep into the bay, got a bunch more fish. And then we went into another bay. He got like a 43 or something. So, right, that kind of made up for it there. But then we got like an hour left in the day. And so me and Colby are talking. We're like, we'll go try this one spot here. And you don't fish a ton, but I was in it last year. And like, I have videos with my glasses in front of my camera.
Yep.
And it's just like, I think I counted like 45 pike or something like that. It's like 2 feet deep, sandy bottom, and just pike everywhere.
Yeah, they're just scattered. And they're
not the biggest, but yeah, they're just everywhere. So I was like, you can go check that out. We go in there, same thing, catch I don't know how many fish, and we've got like probably about a half an hour ride back, and it's like 15 minutes till we should head back, but you're not going to go to another bay at that point and stuff like that, right? So we're kind of talking like, should we lake trout fish, keep a couple for the smoker or whatever, and I look back and I see two fish sitting side by side, and I'm like, that one looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's right, especially in comparison to the other one. I was like, that one looks pretty good. I was like, Tim, cast over there. He's like, yeah. And he had just seen them right then too. He casts over there. One smaller one starts coming that we didn't even see, comes from the side and is like racing up to take it. And the bigger one of the two that we did see takes it. And like, I usually, when it's a big, big fish, like you can tell from seeing it, right?
Yeah.
But this one didn't look anything crazy. And then so, whatever, Tim's fighting it. I'm talking to Colby, like thinking, it's just another fish coming in kind of thing. And so then Tim's like, Logan, it's here or whatever. And I look up and it's probably still like 15 feet off the front of the boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, like, this is a big fish. So I grab the net and net this fish, whatever, hook pops out in the net. We're good to go. I already fixed the hole from before. And, looking down, I was like, this is a big fish, put on the bump board, 46 inches, and everyone's kind of whatever, freaking out, having a good time, laughing. It's a big fish, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually the biggest pike I've guided so far. So I was like, this is pretty sweet, pretty special, whatever. So get in the net, get the camera ready, stuff like that, whatever, bring it out, get the pictures, take a handful of pictures, and then I'm release the fish. And then Rick has another fish already, so I'm unhooking that, and it taking a bit smaller fish, taking a bit deeper. So I'm leaning over the boat, dealing with that, and Tim goes, there's no pictures. And I was like, what? And he's like, it didn't take any pictures. And I think now on iPhones, if you're on the photo mode, but you hold the camera or something, it'll take a video.
Yeah.
And so that, with the pike slime on my hand, that there's a little bit there, the first one that I took was like a 1 second video or something. And I knew that when I was taking them, but then I was like, I know I took pictures because it does that little shutter thing right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I know I took pictures. And so I'm like, this is weird or whatever. And so then I'm thinking like, man, like that other one already got out of the net. Like, what am I going to do? I'm dealing with this little pike right now that's taking the hook deep. And I'm just like, man, what's going on? But little do I know, like you said, like three times or something like that. Yeah, there's no pictures. And little do I know, he's smiling up there and they're all trying to like hide their laughter or whatever. And because I can't see him, right? I'm leaning over the side of the boat. And then get up and I look up and he's laughing. He's like, that's for losing my 42. I was like, oh boy. I was like, man, Oh yeah. I was like, man, if I didn't take pictures of that thing, that's his biggest pike ever, the biggest one I've ever guided, and it was the biggest of the trip for them too. And I was like, and I think it was the second biggest that week of the whole lodge or something. So I was like, man, if I lost or didn't get pictures of that, that's a good way to ruin a trip, right? So luckily that wasn't the case. We ended the day, it was an awesome day. I don't even know how many fish we caught. I don't want to put a number on it, but I don't know how many fish we caught. Got that big one. We're driving home and I'm still like, be like a half an hour drive back. And so he's like just sitting there, right, thinking or whatever, and whatever. Then it popped in my head, like I get like a rush in my chest, like, oh man, I didn't get the pictures. And I was like, no, wait, no, we got them, kind of thing. So
a little anxiety. That was
for sure. Yeah, that was for sure the highlights of the trip. So I don't know. I think it was pretty good. We had a couple days after that. That ended up still being the biggest pike. On the last day, I think we finished off two of their 40-40 clubs as well. So that was pretty cool. We got them some nice lake trout and managed to not get hammered by a big storm. So that was an awesome week. And I have to give a shout out, because I said I would, to Cashmere Teddy Bear. That's it's a new nickname, and I'm hoping it's sticking at work for them. So that's for one of the guys.
Do I want to know, or
he's just got a lot of hair on him? Yeah, so he's Cashmere. I guess one thing to end the trip, so I had our last day, right, it's my last day up there, their last day up there on week three, and I had at the time the fastest boat. I don't know if it still is. Scoobs is driving it now, so I don't know if he's broken it or not by now, but I had the fastest boat in the fleet by like maybe like half a mile an hour or a mile an hour or something like that. And so we came out behind, I think, four boats or something like that. We all left the lodge around the same time. And so we're all running in a line to the lake trout spots by Big Island. And we had Jessie, Zach's wife, she had ordered, I think she went to order, tried to order 10 bags of grapes, and they sent 10 cases of grapes.
No.
Which like is like, I don't know if it's 10 bags in each case or something like that. Yeah. So we had grapes for days. And so we'd all take out a bag of grapes for the day. And whatever, getting tired of grapes too. So we started using grapes as ammunition when we'd whatever, throw it at each other, stuff like that. And so on the way out, I first get to Scoobs. I catch up to him first and come up right beside him, try and squirt him with the water gun, courtesy of Adam, but we were going too fast, so the water just went back. So I just threw a handful of grapes at him and whatever, move on to Jesse. And you're sitting with your left hand on the tiller, so you're kind of blind to behind you on the right side.
Yeah.
And you're driving for whatever, 15 minutes to the spot, so you're just cruising straight, right? And I come up behind him on the right side, cut across the wake, right beside him on the left side. He sees me all of a sudden. I gave grapes to Chris and Mike were in my boat that day, and I gave them grapes as well.
Yeah.
And I said, don't throw them at the client, but just pepper the guide. So we threw a handful of grapes at him as well, peppered him. And then Colby had our other two guys from our group in the boat. And when we threw the grapes at Jesse, Mike's hat flew off. So we had to turn around and get that. So we lost some time. So just as Colby pulled up to his spot, he's dead in the water. I cruise by him. We've got like two handfuls of grapes just, and we just pepper that boat with them. So yeah, so that was pretty funny way to end the day. But yeah, no, it was a fun trip for sure. So no complaints there whatsoever, and looking forward to next year already.
So you've already made the decision. This is a annual June thing.
I'd like to, yeah. As long as Zach will have me back.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That guy can change his mind in a split second. So
he might listen to this episode and be like, yeah, we don't need him back.
Yeah, he's like, we don't need this guy telling everybody that we have food fights.
Yeah, no, that's all. It's all fun. It's the North, right? That's like our shirt.
It's the North.
I was wearing that up there, and it was pretty funny. Like new owners this year, so lots of good changes, lots of upgrades to everything and stuff like that. So when I was talking to one of the people that worked there, I was like, it's the North. That's just how things are. If this works half of maybe what it normally would down south or something, like, it still works, right? It's the North. So some of the guys liked that shirt design and stuff as well. So you can check that out in our shop if you haven't. But yeah, no, it was an awesome trip, awesome time. Second stint done up there. So that's 2 months now I've spent up there, and it's been better and better each time. So yeah, really good time. Unreal.
And then when you got back from the Northwest Territories, you took another little trip to Northern Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I went up to my girlfriend's lake, and that was a good time as well. Obviously more chill. Just kind of fished an hour or two here or there, whatever. But that one, I was flying home from the territories on Sunday.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, it's the last night. Usually it's everyone's feeling pretty good, right? It's the last set of their last day for those clients. They've just had a good trip. They're happy as well. Lots of time you hang out with them in the lodge and stuff, have a couple of beers or whatever. And I ended up staying up to like 3:30 that night,
yeah,
or something. Most everyone had gone to bed. I was just kind of wired and whatever, sitting there hanging out. And so I stayed up till 3:30 that night, and I got up at 6:30 that next morning. I packed and everything, all that, whatever. So I had 3 hours of sleep there. My flight wasn't till 4:30 that afternoon out of Yellowknife. So whatever, did stuff at the lodge a bit till the plane came, go on the plane, do some stuff at Yellowknife.
Yeah.
And so then 4:30 comes around, get on the plane. Then I have a 2 hour layover in Edmonton. I don't get home to Regina till 1:30, something like that in the morning. So now it's Monday morning. I had 3 hours of sleep the night before. I get home to Moose Jaw here. I don't get to bed till about 3 again. And then I wake up at 7 to unpack all my stuff. So now I've had 7 hours of sleep in the last two nights total. I unpack all my stuff, pack up all the stuff I want for this week, get the boat ready as much as I need to, pull out of the house at like 9 in the morning, and I've got an 8 hour drive up north to get to Flin Flon. So that was a grind. I think it was like 2,400 kilometers or something. And what was that? 36 hours, something like that. Yeah. So that was a bit of a grind, but no, it was good. I had never taken my boat up to this lake before. So, kind of cool using live scope on a northern lake for the first time. It's obviously different down south here. Just the structure, especially the way the rock is and stuff like that compared to what we have here. What I ended up doing was I'd put it out like 200 feet and I'd be in 70 feet just looking around for stuff. There's some somewhat accurate maps online, but not really. I'd kind of use them to narrow in on an area, but they might be off by 15 feet. Yeah. So like a 30 foot area might actually be 45. And I'm like, I'm not fishing that. So would put the live scope 200 feet ahead and just kind of fan side to side a bit, like from like 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in front of the boat. Yeah. And then as soon as I start to see it go up, I'd be like, oh, I'll head that direction. And so it was able to find some humps and stuff like that. And then trying to figure out things quickly, fishing the jigging wraps because they get down so quick, fishing those and had an awesome bite on those, stuff like that. Lots of people are just jigging a minnow there, but I just want to try some artificials and stuff. So yeah, broke down lots of that lake pretty quickly with that setup and caught some good fish. I think I uploaded the one on Instagram or whatever, and pretty good fish for up north. So I was jacked about that. And then on one of the last days, I took out my girlfriend and her cousin and his girlfriend and went to a jig and a minnow, and it was like lights out. Like yeah. You got to know how to work the artificials, right? And so when you're taking people out that don't fish as much, you go to the jig in the middle. They weren't even having to move the rod. Like literally hit bottom, reel up a couple inches, and within seconds it was fish. And I don't know how many fish we caught, but it was insane. So it was nice to get back on that walleye train and have some fun with numbers and stuff like that. So another good addition to the trip.
Yeah, that sounds unreal. I mean, you're making me pretty jealous. I've only fished once this season. So yeah, it's been a grind trying to get out there. Pretty much missed all of the beginning of June tournaments. I was in Europe on my honeymoon. Europe. So yeah, I was in Europe. So I missed a couple tournaments at the beginning of June, Buffalo Pound one, Regina yeah. Beach, all that stuff. So yeah.
Well, it sounds like Last Mountain was firing for like a month there.
Yeah.
Everyone was catching 28 plus inch walleye. It was crazy.
The amount of like, yeah, 30 inch walleye that I was hearing about or seeing photos of from people was like mind boggling. It was an absolute like heater for, like you said, like a month straight.
That's what it seemed like. So,
and I couldn't even get out there for one day, just one day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like it's maybe slowed down a little bit. You know, we're kind of headed into the middle of summer, but they're still lurking around. So,
yeah,
but
yeah, exactly. And I guess one thing to bring Sass Wildlife into that.
Yep.
I tried to fish for a master angler smallie.
Yeah.
So I went to this lake, whatever, took a boat out there, was paddling it, like a tinner, paddling it, didn't take my trolling motor. I don't know why. Wasn't really thinking, but I was really like, there's a spot over there at this point. I want to fish. I get there first cast. It's like a, I don't know, like a 10 inch smallie. Obviously need bigger, but first cast 10 inch smallie. Wind comes up, blows me off. Like I have, can't believe how quickly I'm being blown away from here. And I get blown all, it's not like a huge lake, but I get blown all the way to the other end of the lake. And I'm like, are you serious? It's like, it's after supper. I see, I think I had like an hour and a half of sunlight left. By the time I was done paddling back with the wind or into the wind and stuff, the sun was below the treetops. And I was like, I'm never coming back here again unless I have some form of a trolling motor.
So you didn't get that. Get the Master Angler Smalley?
No, I have caught one that would have been, I didn't bump board it, but it would have been the very first time I went there on a topwater. But I went there and yeah, ton of little pike and stuff like that. But I like literally, this is where I want to fish. I want to fish this point. First cast is a fish and then the wind just ruined it. So if you can imagine a very mad Logan paddling back himself in a tinner for an hour into the wind. That was the way I spent the rest of that evening. So
you mad?
They don't always
never work seen out. It. I've never seen you mad.
No, always a good day.
A day on the water is just a good day. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that covers my adventure, I guess. We're looking forward to getting this back on schedule and getting some more guests. Got some ideas on some people to have on. So I don't know if there's anyone that people want to hear from, shoot us an email, shoot us a message on Instagram, Facebook. We answer all those quickly. If you have any questions about anything, I know I've had quite a few people reach out about what rods I'm using for the Lakers or stuff like that. Or I think I had a story with one of the rods or something. So they're asking what I thought about and stuff like that. Like reach out, any questions, we'll answer them to the best of our abilities. Like we said, we're not professionals by any means, but we have used a lot of the stuff. So yeah, don't be afraid to reach out. It's always, we talked to quite a few people and it's always fun talking to people. So I don't know if you have anything else.
Yeah. With that being said, though, you know, just another shout out to our presenting sponsor, 13 Fishing. Go check them out, 13fishing.ca. Give them a follow on Instagram, Facebook. And if you're not following the Weekend Warriors on social media, go slap us a follow, too. We're going to be posting a lot of content and sharing a lot of content, too. Like, we get like a lot of people tag us in their posts and stuff. And we love sharing other people's experiences and catches and, you know, their trips and, you know, helping people just have a good time and enjoy fishing and make the best of it. So with that being said, exactly. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is going to be a fun year, closing out 2023, getting into the fall season here soon. There'll be lots to talk about. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stay tuned for the next episodes as well, because we're going to have them rolling out here hot. So thanks for tuning into this one and we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.